This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by Nomad PHP. Start a habit of continuous learning. Visit nomadphp.com and subscribe today. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. My name is Cal Evans, and we're here in St. Louis, Missouri at PHP Tech 2016. And my special guest is Mr. Todd Ross. Say hi to everybody, Todd.
Hi, everybody.
Now, Todd, you work at Answers.com.
Correct.
And we're going to talk a little bit about Answers. And then since obviously you're like the second largest PHP site on the web,
yep,
we're going to talk a little bit about what it, you know, deploying large-scale PHP. But let's talk first about Answers. Can you give us a little bit an idea of what your stack looks like there?
So, I mean, I like to say that we're kind of that traditional LAMP stack, Linux, Apache, MySQL, PHP. That's kind of where the bulk of the web app is. We also have use Java, Solar, Lucene Index for our search cores. We have MemPHD, Couchbase, some Redis, MongoDB for some of our decision stores for
countergrams. Mongo is web scale, so
yeah.
No, excellent. Now, which of the pieces are like front end? Do you have specifically front end stuff, and obviously you have some back end?
The majority of our front end and back end is PHP.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
I mean, other than the JavaScript.
Yeah.
We have the only real back end that isn't PHP is, like I said, our search indexes, and some of our decision analytics code is using Java and Solar Lucene indexes.
Oh, wow. So you truly are deep into the weeds on PHP. What version are you currently running?
We upgraded.
Don't say four.
No, we upgraded last year to 5.5. We're kind of working slowly to get up to 7, but there's a long road to that, as we've got another speaker here talking about that as well.
You know, if you made the jump past 5.3, you know, because the 5.2 to 5.3 was the hard one. 7, there's only a couple gotchas, so.
Well, 5.3 to 5.5 was a pretty big jump for us because it required an OS upgrade.
Oh, okay.
And so that was a pretty huge infrastructure upgrade for our company.
Yeah.
We moved up to CentOS 6.
Oh, cool.
So that was, it took a long time to get everything up there. Plus, there were a lot of deprecated with MySQL. Was no longer supported. We had to move to MySQLi or PDO. So that was a lot of infrastructure change and code change, and it took us about 6 months to really get everything migrated.
Very cool. Now, obviously, you have edge caching, CDN, all of that involved in it. Do you use any one particular partner for your CDN?
We use Fastly, which is, they use Varnish.
Yeah.
But we also have an internal Varnish cache, which I'll talk about more in our talk. We have like a Varnish layer between us and Fastly because we have to clear our CDN pretty frequently. We kind of separate the CDN between static files and our code, like for JavaScript and CSS and all that kind of stuff. So those are different, use different CDNs. So when we clear that on deployment, it would actually kind of DDoS our system. So we created an internal Varnish cache. So there would be just one entry point where it could go there and only hit one web server instead of having to like this massive farm out and spider of all of our servers.
Yeah. Very cool. Hey, before we're going to talk a little bit more about large scale, but before we do that, I'd like to let you know that our sponsor for this episode is Nomad PHP. Nomad PHP is the PHP user group without borders. If you do not have a local PHP user group, we would love to have you as a member of Nomad PHP. You can get all the information out at nomadphp.com, and we'd love to see you at our next meeting. Now, you're talking today, or here at Tech, about deploying large-scale large-scale PHP.
Correct.
Give us a little flavor of what's in your talk.
So the way the talk is kind of structured is kind of that path with how we started, you know, 10 years ago as like a small, you know, how we, you know, log into the server, deploy, you know, check out the code or make the code change directly, from how we went from something as simple as that to the massive infrastructure we have now. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to just jump right into a big infrastructure and how we do it. We kind of wanted to show how we got to where we are, how we made the decisions that we got to where we are, and the kind of pratfalls that might that you might encounter as well as you're growing and scaling up your deployment process.
What's the number one pratfall that you might hit, or that people might hit when they're doing this?
Number one pratfall. Well, for the biggest one for us was that, like I said, when we moved to the CDN and we realized that we were DDoSing our own system whenever we cleared it.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's you can run into all sorts of things. Just moving from SVN to Git was one problem that we had. that was a small one, but there's.
No, that's not a small problem. I've seen that go, so.
Multiple data centers. We have multi-slave replication on our database systems. Mm-hmm. The kind of issues that can cause with deploying code. We have, because we can't affect revenue, we have a system in place that allows us to split test our actual revenue metrics. So that we can make sure a deployment change won't actually cause us to lose, or if we're gaining revenue, we can see that as part of our release process.
Well, that's very interesting. Now, you talk about your release process. Do y'all use continuous integration? Are you doing regular releases, or is it a scheduled type thing?
We do two releases a day, every day. Okay. Mm-hmm. But we also that's for like the main websites. Some of our Laravel internal tools apps are continuous, or we're moving more and more towards continuous integration. Right now, it's sort of where there's a person that still pushes the button, but we're getting to the point where as soon as it passes QA, it'll hit the pipeline and go on its way out the door.
Very cool. Now, do you use something like Jenkins?
We do use Jenkins.
Okay.
Yeah.
You mentioned Laravel.
Correct.
Which means you obviously have several different pieces out there. You use Laravel. Do you use any other major frameworks or major components from frameworks?
Our major framework that we use for the website itself is something called Rubix, which is a heavily modified version of Zend.
Oh, okay.
Which allows us to do massive split testing very easily, and that can be controlled by the marketing team. Mm. I can't go in any more than that without giving away some secret sauce.
Understand, but that's very interesting. So now, you're installing different pieces, and you have frameworks or Laravel for your internal tooling and stuff like that. Do you use Composer a lot on these things?
We do, although I think we might have just moved away from Composer.
Oh.
I think there's still kind of, it's up in the air, whether we're still kind of learning our way around this environment. I think we've only been using Laravel for about probably 8 months, maybe.
Okay.
But it's not just internal tools. We also use it for our content writing platform and some of our other external facing things. But those are more of what we consider more like our applications versus our websites.
Main website, yeah. Okay. Well, Todd, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us here today. And you're a speaker here at PHP Tech, which means you've put in an awful lot of time just putting all your thoughts together so you can give a coherent talk. And I want to thank you for taking the time to or spending that time so that you can share with us so that we can all learn from your experience.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank you for tuning in. Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.